Father today that loves you. You know that He loves you today. Amen. Now, I remember last Father's Day. I remember reading a statement to you, and you probably don't remember it. So since it's been a year, I can read it again, and it won't be redundant. I want you to know that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you today. There's a prayer that is much quoted, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. If you want to be really accurate about it, it's really our prayer. It's a pattern for us to pray. It's a pattern not just to be prayed word by word, but the principles in it are to preface all prayer. It's a pattern for every prayer that will ever be uttered and ever be prayed. Because a question was asked of Jesus Christ. The question was this: teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen. Teach us to pray. And it's amazing they would ask that, because they were in a religious group of people that loved to make long, flowery, beautiful prayers to bring attention to themselves. They went on fast to bring attention to themselves. They broadened their phylacteries to contain more scripture to bring attention to themselves. Amen. And it was a religion that didn't include a relationship with God. Jesus put it very succinctly and plainly. He said, if you'd known my Father, if you had a relationship with God through your religious efforts, you would have known me. There would be no question about who I am. If you had known who my Father was, and they claimed to be the theological elite, and they didn't. Religion without relationship had brought them into a cold, calloused practice of religion without any real love for people or for God Himself. But Jesus said, if you knew my Father, you'd know me, because I came out from Him. Amen. So clearly you don't know. So He said, before I can teach you to pray, He started undoing. He said, don't pray like they do. First thing He did is, don't pray like those religious are praying. Religious leaders are praying, because there's no relationship involved here. Religion without relationship, it doesn't represent Christianity. All of the things we do, the rituals we go through, God desires relationship. And that's why the Bible said the just has suffered for the unjust. Why? So that we can go to heaven and just live in heaven? No, that He might bring us to God. The first thing about salvation is reconciliation. We've sinned against God, but God wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
He doesn't will that any perish, but all have eternal life.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? So, when we start talking about Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read the first verse of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. But it is in actuality a pattern for all prayer. Everybody say all prayer.
All prayer.
If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, I have to tell people every time I minister or teach on this or preach on this, go to John 17. It's the prayer He prayed before He ascended. Amen. This is the Lord praying for us, interceding for us. Amen. So, here's the first principle in all prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Before I do it, I'm going to read what I read last year, because you probably forgot. If you didn't, you're better than I am, because I had forgotten until I refreshed it to myself today. And this true story. This is how crazy it can get when you don't really have an understanding of the Word of God. Two secretaries were taking a tea break when they began to talk about their respective churches. I never knew you went to church, said the first one. I bet you $20 you can't recite the Lord's Prayer. Oh, yes, I can, said the second. Well, then let's hear it, said the first. The second one began, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. The first secretary listened with astonishment. Wow, she said, here's your $20. I didn't think you knew it. And as crazy as that is, and as laughable as it is, a large portion of the Christian church doesn't understand the Lord's Prayer. Because it's almost a sentimental thing that we recite on certain occasions. And it can be prayed as it is written. But it was not meant to be just recited. You know, the Bible said that they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. The religious crowd of His day, if you recite it over long enough, God will listen. He said, that's not how prayer works. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open. You don't have to just go over it and over it and over it. The Bible said pray without ceasing, which means never quit using the privilege and opportunity to pray and talk to God. Amen. Amen. But repetitious praying is not what that's all about. So don't pray like the heathen does. And don't even pray like the religious crowd does without a relationship. Don't pray like they pray. The first thing he taught them was, I got to teach you how not to pray before I can teach you to pray. And in order to teach you to pray, there's one great first step. When you pray, pray like this. Matthew 6 and verse 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just this open door to the person and presence of God. After this manner, therefore, pray thee, our Father, which art in heaven. And the moment you confess and understand, appreciate, and appropriate that great privilege, you have to understand that he's your Father, but he's not your old man. Can you say amen? He is your Father. You do have this relationship to him. But he's also your Creator, your Savior, and your God, and your King. Amen. Amen. Our Father, I confess I have this relationship. Hallowed be thy name. Because when God is your Father. My dad is with the Lord. This is the first Father's Day that my dad is not here. I was looking at the Father's Day. Some of them were so great, Sean, I almost bought one and sent it to myself. Can you say amen? But I got a better one from my wife. I got a personal card from her about our love for one another. But I got a card from her about a pastor. And I don't know where she got it, but it was talking about someone's husband also being a pastor. And to be my wife's pastor as well as her husband. The father of our children and yet also a pastor. My dad and I, he said, you know, we have a unique relationship. He said, you're my son and I'm your father. But you're also my pastor and I'm one of your sheep. Amen. And I said, what a wonderful thing that my daddy, who's always telling me what to do and how to do it, amen, can submit to me in the office of ministry and let me teach him some things from the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. I miss my daddy this year, but I know where he is. I like what Vance Havner said, and what a faith we have. Amen. His wife died on a Friday night. On Sunday morning, he is in the pulpit. He's ready to preach. They had a real deep love. Anyway, they had a deep love for one another. And he wept and it broke his heart because he's going to miss her. But the consolation is that he knew exactly where she was. And he came to church and preached. And they thought he would just fall apart. But he came to church and preached. And someone immediately asked him after the service, how can you preach after just losing your wife? And he said, you haven't lost anything if you know where it is. Amen. Can you say amen? I miss my wife. And it's going to take a lot of time. But I know where she is. Praise God. So the Christian faith is all about knowing something. It's not about speculation. It's about knowledge. Praise God. And Jesus said, I want you to know something. And the one thing he wanted to communicate above the just anything else about God was that he has now become your Father when you come to him in faith. That he's not just a Father. He is your Father. He's not just the Father of all living through creation, but the Father of you in particular through salvation. I go to my Father and your Father. He talked about the Father so much, they said, we want to see. We want to see him. We want to see him. We want to see him. And he said, have you been with me this long and you haven't seen the Father? I say unto you, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, but what I hear my Father say. And the works I do are not my works. I'm not arbitrarily doing things because of anointing, but what I see my Father do. Can you say amen? He said, heretofore, and we're back into prayer now, heretofore you have asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask. Who? The Father. It doesn't even start out with faith. in the sense of believing God for an answer. It doesn't even start out by petition in and of itself. It starts out with a confession and an acknowledgement that God is now your heavenly Father. Heretofore, you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Brother Taylor had a bleeding polyp, and it took 5 months for them to go back in. They couldn't mess with it. We prayed. We all prayed. God listened. God answered. They went back to deal with that polyp that was left. And we all know polyps can turn into worse things. And when they went back in to deal with that polyp, the polyp is not just quit bleeding or shrunken. The polyp is gone. Hallelujah. And you can tell when you shared that over the telephone, I could hear the joy. You didn't sound like the lady that you are. You sounded like a little girl. Hallelujah. Just filled with joy. A little girl on Christmas morning saying, Santa's come, Santa's come, Santa's come. Joy. Joy. Oh yeah, church is not known for it. I realize that. But when prayers get answered because we realize we have a heavenly Father. Jesus said, you haven't asked him anything. They'd all came to Jesus for everything. No one was getting to know the Father. Everybody came to Jesus. Jesus is sleeping on the ship that is storm-tossed, and the storm gets worse, and Jesus is calm and confident and sleeping. And they got so frustrated and agitated with him. And they said, Master! Master, don't you care that we perish? He looked back at them and said, where's your faith? When he said, where's your faith, he didn't mean faith as an intrinsic force within themselves. He did not expect them to go out and speak to the wind and the rain. Now, there's preachers preaching that all over the place. However, they speak to us when they have a need. I get the letter. And if they got that kind of power, just say it, brother. And quit talking about this thing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Can't even stop for Easter Sunday. Did you ever stop and think about some of that stuff? I think about those things all the time. Amen? Jesus was talking about doubting the watch care of the Father, doubting the love of God, doubting His care. Careth. Don't you care that we are about to perish? The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, is it 5 and verse 7, I believe it is. It said, casting all of your care, the whole of your anxiety, I'm reading from the Amplified, once and for all upon Him, because He careth for you and watches over you affectionately. Can you say amen? Jesus said, I want to tell you something about the Father. I want you to know how much He loves you. Heretofore you've asked nothing of Him in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. For the Father Himself loveth you. Can you say amen? In that prayer in John 17, Jesus said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me, and we are one in that spiritual relationship to one another. He said, I pray for those that will believe on me. That's for you and me today. Can you say amen? That they might be one in us, just like I'm in you and you're in me. And then he went on to say something that I'm still using every ounce of my faith. I believe it. I accept it. But it is still blowing me away. Amen. To put it in the modern vernacular. Amen. And he said, Father, you know how you love me? I want you to love them no differently. I don't want you to distinguish one of them that believe on me from the way that you love me. And we understand why that he loved Christ, because he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He only does what I say. Amen. He only speaks what I say. He is in the volume of the book it is written. Jesus said, I have come to do thy will, O God. Amen. He never sinned, not one time or not one instance. We can understand the Father's love for him. But when God loves us, none of us can say what Jesus could say. But he prayed. He said, Father, you know how you love me? I want you to love them with the same, the same, the same. Say it with me. The same love wherewith you have loved me. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So he said, I want you to know something. I'm going to my God, but I'm not just going to my God, but your God. And I'm going to my Father, but not just my Father anymore, but to your Father. And every time you begin a prayer, I want you to stop and acknowledge that you have not just been an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace, but now you are the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Does that mean anything to have that kind of relationship with God? So when you pray, acknowledge that relationship. The first principle in all prayer is, we have a Father. Acknowledge it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. And then it goes on with all the other principles of prayer, but it begins with this foundational, fundamental principle. Our Father. Say it with me. Our Father. Glory to God. Jesus talked about the Father over and over again. And in all honesty, religion can't tell you much about the Father. Dead religion is dead religion. How dead is it? It stinks. Stinks in the nostrils of God. If you're involved in dead religion, then you don't have a relationship with God. That's all it is the practice, the routines, the rituals. And God has called us to intimacy. God has called us to fellowship. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, what happens? Amen. I'll give you a religion to practice. No, I'll come in. And I will what? Sup with you. And you shall what? Sup with me. Isn't that incredible? He said, I want a relationship with you. I didn't just come to establish a religion. I come to reconcile you to God for relationship. And so the Bible said the spirit of adoption. Say adoption. Adoption. You know what the Holy Spirit cries in their heart? Abba. Can anybody here say those that two-syllable phrase, Abba? Abba. Abba is Aramaic for daddy. It's not even Aramaic for father. It's daddy. It's intimate. It's personal. It is the word that was uttered when a child first recognizes who his father is. And when Jesus was the only begotten at that time, so Jesus was the only one that could use that phrase legitimately. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, in one of the Gospels, he didn't just say, Father. He said, Abba, Father. If there's any other way, let the cup pass. He said, Abba, Father. Because when he needed comfort from his Father, amen, he acknowledged the relationship with him. Amen? He acknowledged that kind of personal intimacy relationship with him. Abba, Father. And the Bible said that now that we have come to Christ, in the book of Romans, that the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit acknowledging, amen, this great truth of this reconciled relationship with God, cries, Abba. He cries in us, Abba. Father, this is your Father. I want to show you the Father. I want you to know the Father. I want you to look beyond the cross. Amazingly, there's someone beyond the cross. For God, beyond the cross, so loved the world that was fallen, that he gave us his only begotten Son to die on that cross. But the Father's love is what sent Jesus here. The Father's desire to say, make no mistake about it, there are Christians that would be glad to see sinners fry like bacon because they have rejected them, and the disciples got that old mean-spirited religion, and they went into cities and nobody got saved and nobody listened to Jesus. And here's what they said: let's call fire down out of heaven and destroy them all. Jesus turned around and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Amen. I didn't come into this world to condemn it. I came because it was condemned. God loved this condemned, fallen, sinful world. And he wants to save the lost, not damn them. He came in a rescue mission. Rescue the perishing. Hallelujah. Amen. Does he condone sin? Not at all. What? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not his mission. But he can't save people that will not recognize and understand how much he loves them. So the message of the gospel is, you are a fallen sinner. You're on your way to a devil's hell, but God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And you don't have to be lost. Hallelujah. Not his will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. So Jesus said, you haven't been praying to the Father. He knew there would come a time that they needed a relationship with the Father, not just a relationship with him. They were going to be able to, they're going to need prayers answered in his name, but from the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he shall grant it you. Heretofore, you haven't asked anything in my name. Ask that you might receive, so that your joy might be complete. It might be full. There's a joy that comes when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Sometimes we just, it just comes. But it is not the same joy. The joy of answered prayer is different. Can you say, man, it's different and distinctive? Because it's not just a supernatural feeling or experience. It is a manifestation of an answer that is undeniable. Can you say, man? Brother Taylor, which would you rather have if you could make the choice? Would you like to just, after we prayed for you, have a big shout and run around the building and say, man, look at me go at 75? Or would you rather have the doctor come out and tell you the polyp that was bleeding, that was suspect, that we really needed to deal with? Amen. That polyp is gone. Amen. See, there's a joy in deliverance. There's a joy when God comes through. When God turned the captivity of Zion. It wasn't a feeling. It was a fact. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When God said to that king that held them, let them go. Your time of holding them is up. Turn them loose. Amen. When God turned the captivity of Zion, when they came out of Babylon and they came home, they said, we were like those that dream. This was better than good. We've been in bondage so long, it felt like we were just dreaming. We were as though that dream. But when they realized this is not a dream, this is happening, God is bringing you out. Then was our tongue filled with laughter and our mouth filled with song. Amen. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When prayers start getting answered, there's a sound. Did you hear the applause a while ago? What was that for? God answering prayer. Dead religion? No. A choir singing so good it stimulates your emotions? No, it's God coming through. It's God showing up. It's God showing up. Hallelujah. Wow. So there's a joy in answered prayer. John 15 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Here we go to prayer. Jumps into prayer. If you abide in me, my word abides in you. You will ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. I have spoken these things unto you, that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. So that your joy might be full. Amen. Oh, there's so many ministries just telling you to take it and deal with it. God says, no. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will. I love the Bible because God speaks differently than all of the preachers, theologians, doctors of theology who are constantly making excuses for a God who obviously doesn't do all the things that He's promised. So we've got to explain them away theologically. I believe He watches over His word to perform it. I believe heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But His word will abide forever. I believe that we need to let God have the last word. Let God be true and every man become the liar. Can you say amen? Doctor didn't lie about the polyp. It's just that he didn't have the last word. You don't give him the last word. Brother Norman's not supposed to be here. He's supposed to be pushing daisies a long time ago. Amen. But he's here today. And the doctor again was what? Astonished. He looked at the x-rays again. And he's looking at that's supposed to be killing him. And he can't find it. Because God is still God. You haven't asked Him. You have not. Because you ask not. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Love the way God talks. I love the way Jesus talked. Amen. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I. Not theoretically, no, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you in that context agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Because He's not just my Father anymore. He's your Father as well. Can you say amen? Amen. Ask that you might receive. Heretofore you haven't asked Him anything. You've run to me for everything. But I want you to know Him. Because when Jesus ascended, they still needed prayers answered. Storms didn't quit coming just because Jesus wasn't there to quiet the sea. Amen. But they could pray to a heavenly Father who promised to answer them. Can you say amen? Oh, I have been involved in dead religion. One of the excuses I had for backsliding, I came to Christ when I was 12. My mom and daddy went through a heated divorce, and they didn't consider my feelings at all because they were so emotional with each other, and I heard bad words from each of them about each other, and they were my world. I didn't have Nintendo. I didn't have an Xbox. My mom and my daddy were my world. My mama worked at what was then Margaret Ann, which went on to become Quick Check, which evolved into Winn-Dixie. She worked for them when they were Margaret Ann. And she worked as a cashier for them. I remember sitting at a screen door. You want air conditioning? Open the door. Just leave the screen latched. And the only reason you left the screen latch was you say, I won't keep no burglar out. We didn't have to worry about no burglars. Amen. It was a good day we were living in. People were a lot more honest in those days. Amen. So this screen door all night long, little old latch on it, wouldn't stop anything, but at least the possums and raccoons didn't come in. And the snakes didn't crawl in and kept the skeeters out too. Can you say amen? But I remember sitting at that screen door looking for the car lights when my dad would go pick up my mom from work and watching them come down US 92. There was no Interstate 4. Amen. So I was watching Highway 92 from that screen door, and I would sit there for a solid hour waiting to see those car lights with the blinker on. And my heart was just, I was afraid I might lose my mama. I might lose my daddy. What if they had a wreck? What if something happened? Because they were my world. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you, when that world fell apart, then I got bitter, and I got an attitude. And I became the guy in school with the leather jacket. My stepdad, my mother remarried. And before they married, I wormed a 1955 BSA motorcycle out of him. Because I figured he'll be real good to me at least till they get married. So I'm going to hit him up for the motorcycle right now. Amen. So they got married, and I got my BSA motorcycle. I got my attitude already. I got me a simulated black leather jacket because I couldn't afford leather. Amen. Had zippers all over it. Got me a switchblade knife and put it in my pocket. I made my own black jack out of braided leather, and I heated and beat out a piece of lead till it was flat, and then I formed it around that, and I carried that in my pocket. And so there I had my switchblade, I had my hair slicked back, I had my BSA motorcycle, my black leather jacket. I wasn't used to that old motorcycle. Amen. It leaked at the fuel line. I remember driving up to school and all the girls and everybody, because what you do, you rev it up. You to make sure everybody's looking at you, because what's the point of having all this persona if nobody sees it? So I'm revving it up, and I'm revving it up, and sure enough, some of the girls are looking over there. Even the boys are looking envious at me on that motorcycle, and I'm revving it. And what I would do, because it leaked right at the fuel line, right down underneath, I could reach down and twist and push and kill that fuel line. Then my gas wouldn't leak out while I was in class. So I reached down to grab, you know, to do that. But I was looking to see if everybody was looking. And everybody was looking. I decided to give it another rev. Just before putting it. And the spark plug cover wire was off. And I was looking at all them. And I reached around front. And I reached down. Instead of grabbing the fuel line, I grabbed the spark plug. Yes. And I was revving it up. Revving. And everybody just fell out laughing. I said, boy, it's going to take me 6 months to build back my reputation. I was a bad man. Until I grabbed that spark plug wire. Took all the bad out of me. Can you say? It kind of humbled me down a little bit for a while. Anyway, my mom and my daddy was my world. And when they were not there, it's like my world was shattered. It was in pieces. The love of God is so powerful. I remember when I met the Lord, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray. Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to Jesus? How do I pray? Well, that's why Jesus was teaching them. When you pray, don't just recite the Lord's Prayer. Pray to the person and the principles that I'm bringing forth to you. When you pray, begin every prayer with an acknowledgement, if you're a Christian, God is your heavenly Father. Here's what he says to me as a daddy today on Father's Day. If you, being evil, intrinsic of the flesh, part of us still needs redeeming. That flesh part of us has something. That's why you still, otherwise there would be no aging. There would be no dying down here. Part of us still, the last enemy to be destroyed his physical death. Yeah. Right now we have flesh to deal with. Listen to me carefully. If you, being of the flesh, literally, know how to give good things to your children. If you have that kind of response to their need and that kind of love, how much more shall your, here it is, there's that term again, your heavenly Father, give good things to them that ask him? Would you disappoint them? Would you cause them to do without? If they ask a fish, would you give them a stone? If they ask a piece of bread, would you give them a serpent? Of course you wouldn't. And you're capable of doing that. Let me tell you about your heavenly Father. If you, being of the flesh, will do that for your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father? God wants you to begin your prayer with faith in his paternal love. His watch care. Because whatever you ask in prayer, believing it's in accordance with his will, he's going to grant it. Doesn't mince words. Jesus said, I want you to know the God that you're dealing with. And I want you to know him intimately. I want you to know him personally. Daniel said, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. The whole book of Acts was written by people who came to know their God. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what it was all about. Blessed. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. The mighty man, his strength. Show it to us, Jimmy. Show it. I know it's still there. Show us that gun. Okay. I thought he was too humble to do it, but he's never too humble to do that. When you got guns like that, you wear short-sleeve shirts in the summer and you hang it out the window. Can you say, man, hallelujah. He got arrested one time for having two guns in his front seat. No, he really did. I'm talking about these. That's what... If you're around a gym, this is your guns right here. Your biceps. Let not the wise man, the professor, he's got a, is it a PhD? What is it? Oh, just a master. Put a dunce hat on him, just a master. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his money. But he that boasts. There's something God says is legitimately correct and spiritually right for you to boast in. He that glorieth. There's an occasion for boasting that God not only approves, but he says, I want you to do this. Most of the time it's born out of pride. This isn't. This is born out of faith. And it should humble us to call the God of creation our heavenly Father. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But that's the truth root. Wow. Glory in this that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Amen. He quoted a distinct, direct quote from the Old Testament that says the same thing. And he says of the ministry, pastors, the word pastor is not used very often. Shepherd is more used in the Old Testament. But there is a word time when pastor is used. I will give you pastors. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors after my own heart. Amen. They're not just trying to build a church or a reputation or a lot of money for the future. They are there in my behalf to do something specific concerning my people. And I will give you pastors after my own heart, by my choosing. Not the ones you elected, but the ones I sent to you. Can you say amen? After my own choosing. And they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. General knowledge and understanding? No. They will feed you with specific knowledge and understanding. What is the specifics of it? Let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. And Jesus came as a shepherd to the flock, the first great pastor of the sheep. Can you say, man, what a pastor he was? And what did he do? He said, I want you to know and understand God. I want you to know him. I want you to know him. I want you to understand him. I want to show the Father to you by every word that I speak, every deed that I do. And heretofore you've asked him nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive that your joy may be full, for the Father himself loves you. Can you say, man, I want you to have the relationship with him that I share with him. That's what joint heir is all about in its fundamental, foundational truth of it. It's not, remember this, he is the vine. You are the branches. Or as my brothers from Italy say, he's divine, you're the branch. Can you say, man, he's divine. You're not divine. You don't call the shots. Even Jesus didn't do that. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't work arbitrarily under divine unction and authority. And I'm obedient to it. But if we ask anything according to his will, know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you say amen? That's why when we begin this relationship, we don't just boast in it. We begin to move in like Jesus moved in that relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven, immediately I've acknowledged I've been reconciled to God and I've been brought into his royal family, and he loves me as he loved his son. So I know I have his ear. Why? Because I have his heart. Can't help but have his ear. That's what David was talking about when he said, and we sing it in a song, but it's a psalm. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. Turning his ear always to me. Can you say amen? He said, I know I've got his heart. And because I know God loves me, I know he listens when I speak to him. And another reason he knew is because prayers were answered. God answered those prayers. Hallelujah. Turning his ear to me means he bends down and listens when I pray. You got a little boy. He's a tiny fella. He's a little tiny fella. Don't tell him I said so, because he wants to be big shot. Amen. But he's not big shot yet. He's just a little tiny fella. And if he says something, it's so soft, and he's way down there. And I'm not very tall, but he makes me feel really good. When you stand up, I feel like, oh, man, I got to tiptoe to hug that man. But when this little boy comes around, he says something to me, I have to bend down. I have to bend down. And David said, I know something about this God. This God loves us. This God loves me. And when I pray, no matter what he's doing, he stops long enough to bend down and listen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 One of the great issues of prayer is God really listening? If we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, this is the confidence we have in him. If we know that he hears us, if there's no doubt, we begin it with our Heavenly Father, we immediately know he's listening. Then we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven. Someone said to be able to come to God in prayer and call him our Father suggests a new intimacy that is not found in the Old Testament. Though God was indeed called the Father of the fatherless in Psalm 68:5 and others, was said to pity men as a father in Psalm 103 and verse 13, and was addressed as our Father on occasion in Isaiah 63:16 and 64:8. The words our Father do not express the typical or daily manner in which the Jews approach God. For us, they do. We are to come daily before the throne of the everlasting majesty and call him our Father. Isn't that incredible? What grace, what mercy. Isn't that better than just the practice of a religion that you're so distant from God? Isn't that better than praying prayers that don't get answered? And because the church is so full of unanswered prayers, we develop theologies to explain why he doesn't keep his promise, why he doesn't keep his word. I don't want to go to church and someone tell me why he don't. made the promise. I didn't twist his arm. It's his love for us that caused him to make personal promises to us. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, somewhere around verse 26, you know what it says? Something that had never occurred in the history of man from creation until the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. They begin to discover that there is a God, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, specifically through prayer. Specifically through prayer. Specifically through prayer. It said, and men, kind of matter-of-factly said it, and men began to call upon the Lord. Can you say, somebody discovered there's somebody up there, and he loves us enough to hear us when we pray. Men began to call upon the Lord. And then God himself begins to introduce himself as a father who cares and a father who answers and this paternal relationship we have with him. And he says in Psalm 50 and 15, if we worship him from the heart with gratitude, he said, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will. I love the way God talks. Say it with me. I love the way God talks. Come on. I will deliver you. And what happens when we are delivered? God gets the glory, and thou shalt glorify me. Brother Taylor, when you gave that testimony, God was glorified. When you told your doctor, Brother Norman, amen, that God did it. God did it. Amen. God was glorified. You got the help you needed. His name was exalted. And it's no more a routine, ritualistic, religious practice. It is a relationship with a loving, lifting, listening Heavenly Father. Yes. Thank you, through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me. God said, I can't get the glory and you can't get the good unless you call on me. Amen. Call on me. You got a covenant through Abraham with me. Call on me. You got a covenant through Christ with me. Call on me. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. In other words, I'm going to do things that you never dreamed. The New Testament said he's able to do. Woo! God is a moving God. God is a manifesting God. Can you say amen? He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. So, if you want to see the things you've never seen, things you've never imagined, you've got to call on me. Call on me. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you have never seen or dreamed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 I'm going to tell you straight up today. There's not a lot of answered prayer. There's all kind of teachings on prayer. But most of it includes the explaining away of the miracles, of the supernatural, of the faithfulness of God, of the veracity of the Word of God. Got a Bible we defend tooth and toenail. But do we believe it? How many theologians defend a book that they don't really believe? Not when the rubber meets the road. Not when it comes times to pray and God to come through. Amen. When your child is in the emergency room like my son was, and the doctor can't find what's wrong. Can you say amen? I don't want someone to explain away why God doesn't answer. I want somebody to tell me how to get an answer. I don't want a mealy-mouthed preacher telling me why God doesn't do it. Amen. And why we can't expect anything from Him. I want hope in my heart. I want faith to come forth. I want God to come through. Why do we pray? Churches don't even pray for the sick, but they pray for the money to come in to build the building bigger and better. God cares about cement, stone. know what he said about all of our stone and cement? And if we build him a church here, we'll build a nice one. But we ain't going to waste our resources on a building and say it's for the glory of God. He told ancient Israel, he said, heaven is my throne. Earth, your whole planet. It's how big I am, how great I am. You're trying to impress me. Let me tell you something. Earth, heaven is my throne. That's where I sit. And earth, that's where I prop my feet. Where's the house?
Come on, church.
Where's the house that you can build for me? But to whom will I look? There's somewhere I'll come and make my abode. There's somewhere I'll come and live. There's something that can attract me. Where will I look to him that is of a humble and contrite spirit? Trembleth at my word. Can you say, man? That's why Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear. Isn't that a bad confession? Amen. He says, standing in the presence of this holy God, I shudder, I shake. I understand, amen, that I'm using the name that's above every name. I'm speaking about the God who is above all gods. Amen. When I'm weak, I understand the principle of true strength. Then am I made strong. Amen. I fear the Lord. Amen. But I don't fear any man. Can you say, man? Listen to me. Listen to me. So I was with you in weakness and that divine, holy, positive fear. Everybody say the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Let me explain that word fear. It's not the dread of God, even though he will be the ultimate judge of our life. But through Christ, we've been reconciled. Amen. We've been saved from wrath through him. We don't have to fear that judgment at the great white throne because, friend, if you're a Christian, you just ain't going to be there. You're not going to be nowhere near there. Only those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank God when you get saved, there's a book. Hallelujah. Your name is put down in it. And from that moment, Jimmy, we become citizens of heaven while living upon the earth. You don't become a citizen of heaven when you get there. You become a citizen when heaven records your name. It's not just the fire marshal that wants us to keep an aisle open. The Holy Spirit said, keep it open. And that door's open, I see. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. This is not dead religion where prayers are not answered. I don't care how good the choir sings. I don't care where theologically correct the preacher preaches. There's no faith there. No God showing up. It's dead religion.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. That'll keep it cooler in here. Thank you. It doesn't matter. What does it matter? You call on God, nothing happens. Ever. So we explain it away theologically. The sick are in the same condition that the people in the world. If it wasn't for their insurance and their doctors, they have no hope. And when they give up, it's over.
That's it.
It's over. I love the answered prayer that came in. It's a testimony from North Florida, the radio station we're involved with, and Sister Betty. A lady was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. They wanted to give her chemotherapy immediately to begin to hold it at bay. She was pregnant with child. They wanted to go ahead and abort the baby because the chemo, you can't have the chemo with the baby. Radiation, chemo, all of it together. They want to abort the baby and then fight the cancer. She said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust God. What an incredible thing to say. I can't tell anybody what to do because I don't know where everybody's faith is. You have to find your way. But I'm telling you, God is a good God. My wife's daddy, she called him for Father's Day. He just went in for a biopsy on his, and he's not a spiritual man per se. But he goes to church, his family up there that is really his stepchildren come and get him, take him to church. And he's learning something about God, learning something about answered prayer. He asked that people pray for him because he was going for a biopsy on his prostate. And he's 80-something years old, and the doctor was concerned about things. And he went in, and he called. He said he called, actually, us. And he said, he talked to my wife, and he said, I'm cancer-free. They didn't find anything. I've got a big old enlarged prostate, but that don't matter. I'm cancer-free. Can you say, man? And the doctor, the urologist, don't want to see me for 3 years. And then you know what he said? He said, you know something? See, what a surprise. Everybody say, surprise. Surprise. He said, prayer works. Amen. Prayer works. Prayer works. God listens. God moves. Who has a God like our God? You know, and listen, everybody say, answer prayer. Listen, who has a God like our God? Let me quote the scripture. Who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us. He bends down and listens. Say it with me. Bends down and listens. A God so nigh us in all that we call upon Him for. See, the church is not used to dealing with God directly. Somebody anointed with gifts has to come for anything to occur. Some anointed evangelist with gifts has to come. And if someone shows up with gifts and a few things happen, they don't only come from all over Florida, but from all over the United States, and some fly in from other countries. Because the church is so dead and prayers go unanswered and God is so distant. Amen. God wants that to change. Not through an evangelist with gifts, but an understanding of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Maybe you love dead religion, but I've got to have a living God show up. You say, preacher, they don't teach that in my church. We're not in your church today. Amen. You understand where you are today? I was healed of leukemia at 8 going on 9. I wasn't supposed to reach 12. I don't want to be in your church if God don't show up. Can you say amen? I flat don't want to be there. But you don't understand the theological background of our preacher, how well he teaches the Bible. That's not what healed me. Not what delivered me. It's not what set me free. As a matter of fact, it's not a what at all. It's a who. It's Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, in my authority, He'll give it you. Amen. The average ministry today is trying to get heads in the building, enough money to meet the budget. Amen. God wants to show His glory again. Hallelujah. God wants the world to know that He's the true and living God. He wants to distinguish His name above the gods who are not gods, from the God who is man-made, from the God who made man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's all about answered prayer. Praise God. When prayers get answered, we are distinguished as God's covenant people. He is distinguished as the true and the living God. And you can't just have the correct theology without God ever showing up. So she said, so we got the alert to pray, and others joined us all over the place where the emails went from the radio station to pray for this woman. What a dilemma. She made a personal faith decision. I'm not going to destroy this baby. I'm going to have this baby, and then I'll believe in God to help me with everything else. She had a healthy baby. Baby is fine. Now she goes back to the doctor to begin the treatment of the cancer. The baby's fine. I'm trusting God with me. When she got back to the doctor took the new x-rays to see what they needed to do and where they needed to do it, and he couldn't find any cancer. Hallelujah. You know what you're hearing right now? The joyful sound. No one's up here telling you why God doesn't do it. Someone's telling you God still does it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord God of Israel, He declares. I don't ever change. You change. Religion changes. Churches change. Everything changes, but God doesn't change. Woo! Hallelujah. Psalm 126 as we close. When God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were as those that dream. When God begins to come through, God begins to move, you're going to have to pinch yourself. Can you say, man, can this really be real? We were as those that what? This is a dream. We're going to wake up from this wonderful dream and find ourselves still in bondage. No, you ain't. This is really God. This is authentic. This is genuine. Peter's in prison. They would have killed him already. They're holding him over for the execution. They're so afraid of this humble apostle of Christ. They put him in an inner cell in the prison, and they take two guards and shackle them to him. There's two guards shackled to him. This ain't no ankle bracelet. This is not house arrest. Can you say, man, you ain't going nowhere. You're in the inner prison, locked in a cell, with two guards on either side of you shackled to you. And Peter, what peace? What peace came into his heart? Man, if they're going to kill me the next morning, I'm going to do some heavy praying the night before. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think I need no caffeine to keep me up either. That'll get my adrenaline gland going just fine. Peter fell asleep. Talk about peace. He fell asleep. And the church, they knew the circumstance, so they decided to utilize prayer. They decided, have you ever heard someone, we'll be praying for you. They say that on the news broadcast when a tornado goes through. People that don't know God, care about God, they don't know who He is, what He's capable of, but our prayers are with you. You know, you just want to ask Him, who are you praying to? You don't want to talk about God on your program. You don't want God in the schools. You don't want God in your college. You don't want God in your consciousness. Who are you talking to for me in my time of need? And what can I expect from the God that you're praying to? The government don't come through. I'm high and dry. And the government can't comfort my heart that had been robbed of my children, my parents, my loved ones, and my friends. So where is this God? Everybody talks about prayer. We need to talk about God, the God who answers prayer. We need to define Him and make it specific.
Amen.
I appreciate Alcoholics Anonymous and all the good it does, but you pick your God. Define Him any way you want to. Just define Him as a higher power. Jesus said He's more than a higher power. He's your heavenly Father.
Amen.
And you say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have an expectation of Him. Praise the Lord. When God turned the captivity of Zion, the first thing was they thought they were dreaming. It was too good to be true. The church goes to praying for Peter. He's asleep in the middle of the night. And prayer was made, listen to it, without ceasing. They were that confident that God could override, overrule, and intervene. And they just kept on praying. And what did Peter say? Peter's asleep. An angel slaps him on the thigh. How rude. No. This is God's answer to prayer. He sent an angel, and the angel said, come with me. Chains fell off him. He stood up. The presence of an angel wide awake. They go walking. The prison doors come open. He walks outside. Listen. And he said, he thought he was dreaming. What a good dream. Oh, that it was so. Can you say amen? What a wonderful dream I'm having. And this doesn't say it in the Bible, but I'm just going to use my own imagination a little. And a skeeter bit him. He said, this ain't no dream. Ain't no skeeters in my dream. And a dog bark. This ain't no dream. This ain't no dream. And the angel just disappeared. So he goes running to where they're praying. And he beats on the door. And they're so busy praying. There's a damsel, little girl, and she goes to the door and hears the knock. She peeks out and says, it's Peter. And she comes back and says, it's Peter, it's Peter, it's Peter. And they're so into intercession. They won't even go to the door when the answer's standing there beating on it. God, they're going to kill him. God, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm saying you got to stop every now and then and look for the answer. Hallelujah. God could actually pull this off. Woo! Finally, they stopped and said, "Wow, it's Peter. We didn't expect that." Can we expect anything? Two or more of you gathered in my name, there am I. He's not manifesting, but he's there to manifest. Make no mistake about it, he's here. Because we're not here in my name or the name of Independent Assemblies of God, which we've been affiliated since 1974 in good standing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, where that occurs, there am I in the midst of them. Now, he said, I'm here. God is here. But nothing has happened yet. But what is to occur next? Under that condition, if two of you on earth that have come together in my name shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be granted them of my Father which is in heaven. I'm here to answer prayer. I'm here to manifest myself, deliver, save. That's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. It's not changing your mind. It's meeting God. Salvation is a miracle. Can you say, man? Save, deliver, set free. He's here to achieve those great things in our midst today. So I want to be taught to pray. And I want Jesus to do the teaching. And I want the History Channel involved. I'm still looking for him that I've already found and discovered. I don't want the Discovery Channel to tell me about God. They don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in the miracles. At Easter, in San Francisco, California, pre-Easter, the religious editor decided to do a little something about Easter, Resurrection Sunday. 60% of the ministers that he talked to did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. 6 out of 10 did not believe in the... And going to stand up at some funeral and talk about heaven. And don't even believe that Jesus got up out of the ground. Amen. Can you say amen? Oh, but unto them that believe, the promises of God are yea and amen. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And the greatest expression of faith is not just confessing the word or standing on the word. There's a place for that. But it is praying in faith. It's prayer that brought the answers. And it's prayer mixed with faith. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is Father's Day. And my prayer today, in my personal prayer life, I read my job description. A lot of pastors need to read theirs because they're letting the church decide what their job and role is instead of God. And it's become a theocracy, democracy instead of a theocracy. That's why we don't have true spiritual leadership. Without true spiritual leadership, we're practicing that ritualistic, routine, relationship void, dead religion. If that's what you're involved in, God help you when the real trouble hits. God help you when the storms come. But if you've got a relationship with Him, you've got His help. His eye is on the sparrow. So you know He's watching you. He cares about you. He cares about me.
Two weeks ago, on Tuesday, my loader rolled over on me.
Your loader rolled over. You talking about forklift?
No. Loader. Front end loader. Front end loader.
Rolled over on you.
Rolled over while I was in it.
While you were in it. And you come out of it.
Yep.
Without any scratch, without any bruises.
Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Amen. Isn't God good? Yeah. We got to hear these things. We got to see these things. The world needs to know these things. God is a gracious and good God. Hallelujah. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one last scripture as we close today. This is a relationship that is incredible. I'm going to read it. I quoted it. John 17 and verse 20. Here's Jesus' prayer. Here's the Lord's prayer for you and me. All that would believe on Him. That includes us today. Neither I pray for these alone, those disciples which are right there with Him in that moment, in that place and space of time. 20th chapter of John 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Can you say amen? Amen. That means every successive generation of Christians that would believe the gospel that originated in the apostles and prophets, Christ being the chief cornerstone, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. I want them to have this relationship between you and them like I have with me and you, that the world might believe. Yeah. We've got some of the greatest thinkers, greatest theologians that have ever come onto the scene with the greatest knowledge, but the world won't believe unless they see a demonstration of the prayer answering God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That the world might believe. Jesus is the Son of God, that God did send Him. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know, here it is again, that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. And what did Jesus use as a statement so convincing of God's love? Father, I know that You always hear me when I pray. Hallelujah. But that they might know, do this thing. Can you say amen? I know, but that they might know. Can you say amen? We're trying to convince the world intellectually to accept the truth that can only be spiritually granted. Flesh and blood did not reveal who Jesus was to Peter. But My Father. Hallelujah. The church void of the supernatural is just another man-made religion. And that's why it's veering from the truth right now. That's why there's so many churches adopting things that are anti-Bible as it could possibly be. The things God calls an abomination, they're embracing. A world church is forming. It's a prelude to the tribulation period. The manifestation of the Antichrist is right around the corner. And the concessions are being made in every religion. Every religion will make concessions to form the world church that will come and help put Him into power. The false prophet is coming. The church is so void of the supernatural, he's going to deceive with lying wonders. Can you say amen? And people will just about run after anything now. Can you say amen? I've watched these things come up, and I've watched the failure of it, the folly of it. Amen. I've watched the ministers fail. Well, he was doing such a work, the devil, oh, fooey on that. Quit making excuses for man's own folly, foolishness, and sin. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? If the devil can stop anybody, he'll stop everybody. I don't know who's living in you, but there's a greater one. If I fail, it's on my head, not because God didn't keep me or can't keep me. Did you hear me? It's not even on the devil's head. Because if I stay submitted to God and resist Him, he don't have a choice. He will flee from you. Woo! Hallelujah. It's me. They don't even question your theology anymore. If they see something, they come running. And they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And it's setting up that day when people will go into the world church if there's some sign, some wonder. Listen carefully as we close. God has begun to move here in answer to prayer. I meet with preachers all the time. They know where I stand on this, so if they hear this, it's just fine. Sometimes over 60 are involved, and everyone I talk to, the preaching ministry has become paramount. That's what we do. We preach. We study. We get neat outlines. We deliver the message. We're preachers, so we preach. The early church defined it. Listen carefully. Choose you some people to take care of all these other chores. All of it. Completely. That we might give ourselves to preparing to preach and deliver the message and preach. No. That we might give ourselves to prayer. And then and the ministry of the word. It's our intercessions, our petitions. Can you both shalabakodi? When I pray for you, if you're part of this congregation, you're on my prayer list. Brother, have you got a piece of paper? Don't need it because I carry you in my heart. Can you say, man? And when I begin to pray in intercession for this congregation, I don't say, Lord, bless the congregation. I say, Lord, I call your name, 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 your name, your name. Matter of fact, Brother Willie's wife went in for some minor surgical procedure, and Pamela said, well, why didn't you call us? We'd have been praying for you. She said, Pastor is praying for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm on his intercession list. I'm in his heart. It's okay. I knew God was with me, and I knew somebody's praying. They didn't know the specifics, but intercessory prayer was being offered. That we might give ourselves to prayer primarily, and then ministry of the word secondarily. The average pastor prays 20 minutes a week. 20. My house shall be called a house of preaching, secondary. My house shall be called a what? A house of just praising and preaching. No, it's all of that. It's all of that. But there's something on the top shelf. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Can you say, man? And when we get back to praying effectively, God is ready to show us great and mighty things which we know not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? Glory to God. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Are the gifts ready? We got something for the dads that are in here. It's not an Escalade. That's my first disclaimer. Somebody in Zephyr Hills, what'd they win this big blockbuster thing and $370 something million, some 85-year-old lady that somebody let in line because she was elderly and anyway, God is good. But our brother that's here, his daddy called him because he lives in Zephyr Hills. His daddy called him before that lady come forward and said, did you win that thing? Did you win that thing? Well, if we had that kind of money, I'd throw a key to whatever you love. Amen. I'd be so happy to do that, but we don't have that. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have something to honor you today. Just before we praise God and go home, would you please, is there somebody that can go in there and bring out those and help give them out to every daddy? Amen. I think there's enough for every daddy that is here today. They have something they're going to bring over as we leave, so don't miss it. Sunday school is going to bless us too. Amen. Father's Day historically isn't on the same level as Mother's Day, so we'll take everything we can get. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good today. Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about fathers. He said, you got a lot of teachers. You don't have many daddies, people that look over you paternally. Praise God. God is good today. God is good. Make sure everybody gets something that can, and hope that we don't run out. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful God that we serve today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gracious God, we praise you today. We praise you today. As we leave here today, I want to continue to teach and preach in such a way that you might be filled with knowledge and understanding. That when you leave, you haven't just felt something, but you know something. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Specific knowledge. Hallelujah. We don't want to see anyone perish. My people go into captivity, same reason. For a lack of knowledge. Specific knowledge. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. I'm going to ask you a question just as we close. You're here today. and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I'm not asking about your church history. I'm not asking if you've been baptized in water, joined the church. I'm asking, have you ever met Jesus as your personal Savior? It's all that matters in the end. When you draw your last breath, all of your religious credentials will be meaningless. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. I want to be saved today. Is there anyone in here who just lift your hand? Let God see it. I want to come to Christ. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God. I want to be reconciled to God. I don't want dead religion. I want a real relationship that'll save my soul and give me courage in this life. Anyone in this room?